In this period between Easter and Pentecost, we drop the Old Testament reading in favor of a reading from Acts. But the outline of the book of Hosea is relevant today. Hosea was told by God to take a prostitute as a wife and then live out the tribulations he experiences with that arrangement. It's an example of a visible demonstration of a message that God is conveying to the Hebrews. As we delve into the text today, we have to appreciate that just as Hosea was a means of conveying the divine message, so too is Jesus the Christ, as he serves as both our Redeemer and as our best and perfect example of what God the Creator wishes in mankind. It is divinely inspired experiential learning. Our gospel text for today draws our attention to the story of Doubting Thomas. Now, if you consider the totality of the post-resurrection discussion, the other 10 disciples were not particularly insightful and immediately faithful regarding the resurrection either. Remember that the women told the disciples, and Peter and John then ran to the tomb to confirm what the women had told them. The others, perhaps, were too afraid to venture out. And remember that our text last week recounted how that same day of the resurrection, Jesus came to the disciples, less Thomas, who was, unfortunately for him, not present. What that means is that the 10 disciples who witnessed Jesus come into their room and eat with them were privy to a physical proof. We saw that last week, and we see that in John today. Now, that seems to be the only difference between them and Thomas. They saw the risen Jesus, and he didn't. So, notwithstanding our focus on Doubting Thomas, I don't think that's the point of today's gospel text. Just as we discussed last week, I think that the point this week is the same as last week. Jesus challenged the disciples when he came to them. He gave them a task, and he gave them authority. He breathed the Spirit on them. And this is underscored by how John concludes the book, by telling us that the whole purpose of this book that he's written is to share the gospel so that the world may know. Our epistle lesson is a follow-on to the gospel. John has taken up the challenge from Jesus and is testifying of God's grace to his audience. The bottom line that he provides is that Jesus the Christ is a fulfillment of the promise of grace, and that we should live accordingly, and that that gives us life. Our Acts reading takes us to the early days of the church, when its adherents enthusiastically embraced the message of living justly, as demonstrated in the example of the Christ, experientially learned by the early church through the disciples who were the students of Jesus. Now, I think it's a mistake to assume that this lesson is that giving was to be exceptionally sacrificial, selling off all your assets in order to provide for the congregation. Now, I do think that sacrificial giving is appropriate, and something we should do, and I would be happy to talk further about that in a non-worship venue. We know that early believers were certain that Jesus was going to return soon. Indeed, over the centuries, we have seen countless groups with the same conviction. And we know that when your horizon comes close to you, then you have a different perspective than it is when it's at some unknown distance. I think the point for today is not the amount of giving, but that the fact that the early church members actually were thinking of others. Indeed, perhaps thinking of others first. Now, we Yankees tend to be a very private group. In our world, I think we assume that if someone has a need, they'll say so, and then we can provide or solicit help. The Acts message is different. It is one of being proactive. And it appears that the early congregations did not wait for stewardship appeals, but rather assumed that there were unmet needs and that we, as God's people, should be concerned with them. On an individual basis, this means being tuned into each other. Difficult when we tend to privacy. And that can be as simple as just talking with somebody, or considering their feelings before your own, or being alert to the needs of others. But back to the point of the text. The early church reflected very much the experiential example of Jesus and his ministry. His appearance to the 11, including Thomas, is all about the challenge to take the good news further. To not be afraid, as they were, to be empowered, to get the good news out to everyone. John's epistle takes up that divine mandate and challenges John's readers to walk in the light that Christ provides and not the darkness that we otherwise live in. Acts is an example of how some of the early believers were trying to walk in the light. God has saved and redeemed them, and their response is to care for others, sacrificially. It's all about the good news of grace and what that grace frees us, enables us, empowers us to do. Spread the good news. Translate the good news into your actions. Sometimes we revert to our Jonah personalities, keeping the good news locked up as if for our own benefit. Sometimes I suspect we take the same view toward helping others. Why help those people? For sure, none of us and no entity such as this church can help everyone with all their needs. That's not the point. The point is that God has provided richly for us. That's what the people of Acts knew. He has provided atonement for our countless sins. They knew that. And they knew that he provides fellowship with him and with each other. He provides a practical wherewithal to live on this planet, in this place. Given all our blessings, what else can we do other than to follow the example of the early church? To follow the example of the Christ. Our God-given responsibility is to share the good news in every way possible so that the world will know of his goodness and outreach to us. A starting point for this is to grasp what those blessings are to each of us personally. Not an academic question, but a very real one of our personal experience. Where is God in your life? Exactly how do you reflect him in how you live? In your actions, your priorities. Glorify God in your living so the world may know of him and what he has done and is doing. By his grace alone and faith alone in Christ alone, through the guidance of Scripture alone, that we may, in all that we do, give all glory to God alone. Soe Deo Gloria. Amen.